Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Under the Radar SFF Books Podcast. I'm your host, Blaze, as always. Thank you so much for joining me and listening wherever you may be around the world. And today I am joined by fantasy author MJ Kuhn to discuss her completed duology, The Tales of Thamor. MJ, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's awesome to be here.
No, the pleasure's all mine. Always wanted to read this series and have you on to discuss it. So it's everything's coming to fruition.
Right. It all came together.
So congratulations are in order because Thickest Thieves, the second book in your duology, was just published a few weeks ago. So how has that been, the feedback, and to be finally completed with the series? How's it feel?
It feels amazing. I'm just so excited to get the full story out there. You know, with with Among Thieves debuting right in the middle of pandemic time, and, you know, actually it was supposed to come out in 2020, and then, you know, Thickest Thieves took a couple years to get under wraps with everything going on. So it was, there were several points in the last few years where I was afraid that I wasn't going to get to me and maybe share the whole story. So I'm just so stoked that both books are out there. People could binge read the whole series in a weekend if they wanted to. And I love that.
Well, maybe a little ambitious in a weekend. These are like 300 some odd page books, and I'm somewhat
of a They're not like reader. Doorstoppers, though, right? It's not like I'm writing like Stormlight Archive. Like, they're a little skinny, guys.
No, they're skinny and they're quick and they're fun. That's the tone, and that's what I got after reading Among Thieves and the sequel. So, no, lovely that people can read this. So, first question I wanted to ask is, for this series, why did you, or maybe your publisher did, make the decision to do it in a duology as opposed to like a trilogy? Because duologies are relatively rare in the fantasy genre.
It was my decision. And, you know, it was something I'd actually planned long before I even had a publishing deal. So I started writing Among Thieves back in 2015, 2016. And I conceptualized the whole story as, I'm a big time outliner plotter type person. So I had the whole story arc at least roughly sketched out before I began working on Among Thieves. And I knew I needed two books to do it, right? I couldn't fit it all in one, but I didn't quite feel like I needed a full third book to tell the whole story. So yeah, it was my plan from the beginning to have two books and then just kind of wrap her up. And also, like, I feel like for myself as a reader, just like, so I love me a chunky series, right? Where it's an ongoing series and it's a bunch of books. But also I'm aggressively a mood reader. So I get distracted mid-series a lot. And then by the time I'm going to go back and finish the series, often I've forgotten what happened after book three or whatever. So for myself, I was like, ooh, I would love it if there were more shorter series as a reader, just so I could finish them every once in a while. So I decided to write one.
Yeah, I can empathize with that. I am 100% a mood reader. Even if it's a well-known series that I just love, if I pick it up and I'm just not in the mood for it, I'll put it down and pick up something a little bit more fun and simpler. So no, you don't need to be preaching to the audience when you're talking to me about that.
Yeah.
Stuff. So great. Let's. I was hoping to jump back from the beginning. So what made you decide to want to become a fantasy writer? And how, this is two questions, and how did the inspiration for Among Thieves come to you in the first place?
Yeah, so I've wanted to be a fantasy writer since I was like a child. I'm sure like pretty much everyone you talk to says that. but I remember I always liked reading, but the first time I was like, I want to write something was after I'd just read a bunch of the Redwall books when I was in like fifth grade. And so I did. I wrote, I mean, it was on like, you know, notebook paper or whatever. But I wrote a little story that had my own valiant warrior mice, and, you know, basically it was Redwall fan fiction. And that was the first time I was like, oh, I want to like write my own stories. I did kind of lose that a bit, you know, as you grow up and, you know, you feel like you need to study something sensible and get a regular job and all that stuff. So I kind of lost the thread in the middle of life. But actually, when I graduated college, and I decided to get back into reading for fun and writing for fun. This kind of ties back into, because Among Thieves is not the first book that I wrote as an adult. but the series that brought me back into the fold was the Gentleman Bastard series by Scott Lynch. That was the first I'd read Lies of Locke Lamora when I was in high school, and Red Season of Red Skies was the first book I read for fun after college. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like, fantasy is dope. Like, I need to get back into this. And that series is the most direct inspiration for Among Thieves. Even you know, I've said this several times in interviews and stuff, but I wanted to put an homage to it in there because of how much I appreciate it. And my story world, Tamor, is a not so subtle callback to Kamor, the city from Lies of Locke Lamora, because I wanted to sneak that in there.
No, that's great. I love the Lies of Locke Lamora, that series. I know we're all waiting on pins and needles for the next book to come out. Well, we'll be there when it is. But
one day.
I got that inspiration too of reading yours. And also, I don't know if you've read it, but I also got some like Mistborn vibes. Not the magic and not the maybe the hardcore like systems that's going on, but definitely like the plot and the thief story. That's what I got, because these books are just fun, and Mistborn was just fun with me.
I love it. You know, it's so funny. This is, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this on the air. I have actually never read Mistborn. It's like one of my like dirty little secrets that I haven't gotten to. But I have to. I mean, I had to anyways, but people comp Among Thieves to Mistborn all the time. And I'm like, I'm honored because I love a lot of Sanderson's other books. I just haven't gotten to Mistborn yet. But
well, if you're a huge Stormlight Archive fan, you're gonna want to read Mistborn. Read Era 1. I know Era 2 has some people who love it, some people who hate it. I'm in the not so, didn't like it so much, but definitely the first era. I think you'll like it a lot. Vin and Rhea are, they're like two peas in a pod. In some
kindred
some
spirits, maybe. Okay. Yeah, I definitely need to check it out.
Awesome. Well, with that, why don't we discuss, we're not going to talk about Thick as Thieves, because that's spoiler territory. So let's talk about the first one, Among Thieves. So It takes place in several locations. The characters move, but we're in Carolwick, and the first character we're going to talk about is Rhea. She is the butcher. She is a hired assassin. She's she's very stoic. She doesn't give two craps about getting the job done when needs to be done. But she's also holding a dark secret to her past, which you learn about the further you go around in the book. So talk to us about Rhea or Raya and inspiration for her, and what were you thinking when constructing her?
Yeah, so I always say it's Raya, like rye bread. but and when people are like, well, what's the right way to say it? I'm like, I don't know, there really isn't one because I made it up, but I say Raya. but yeah, the inspiration for Raya, it's kind of hard to say. She is a carryover from actually the very first book I ever wrote. I wrote a book, and it was, it wasn't good. It was my first attempt at writing a novel. You know, I know some people nail it right out the gate. I did not. But I felt like there were some pieces that I really wanted to keep, and Raya was one of them. So it's always hard for me to answer like where she came from, what she's about, because she just kind of sprang like fully formed into my brain. But yeah, I just love the idea of taking a character and backing them so far into a corner that, even me as the writer, I have trouble getting them out of it. And I feel like that's what I tried to do for Raya in the very beginning of the story. You know, she's on the run. She's been on the run. She doesn't know how she keeps getting traced down, but she does. And she can't escape from this past that, as you'll discover throughout the book, what happened to her and what she's been through. But yeah, that's kind of just where she came from. And I love me a good unlikable character, in case that wasn't clear from from the book. And I feel like, I hope I made her lovable. I love her. But she's a little rough around the edges. She's pretty harsh. She's not a hero in any sense of the word. Definitely not in the beginning. And I just really wanted to explore, can we make readers still love a character even when they are, not sure if they're even lovable? Like, that's something that she struggles with, right? She doesn't know if she's redeemable. She feels like she's a monster. So yeah, that was something I wanted to explore with her character too.
No, Raya, I loved her. She's gritty. She's rough around the edges, but she has a kind soul in if you look deep enough.
Deep,
And when
deep down.
well, you'll see that when you read about her past and what she goes through, which was horrible. That was horrible to read those sections,
Yeah.
which I'm assuming you did that on purpose. And you said you liked writing her, backing her into a corner, and you plot out everything. Did you write her into a corner so much that you had to like really, really think about how I'm going to get out of this, even though you plotted everything out? Or is that just something that just came like when you got to that part?
Yeah, so so for the plot of Among Thieves, actually every character pretty much is backed into a pretty narrow corner. my poor little babies, what have I done to them? But yeah, that was something that I wrestled with at several points, because so the high level plot of Among Thieves is all these thieves teaming up for a heist, but the twist, they're all planning to screw each other over. And the reasons why is not just because they suck, although, in some regard they do, in a lovable way, I think. But it's because they feel they don't have another choice, right? It's their only way out. Their only ticket to XYZ is they have to screw everyone over and take the loot for themselves, because if they don't, it's all over for me, basically. So I feel like I did back myself into corners, like especially during the like main heist of the book. I even with all my plotting, I had to rewrite that section of the book probably 5 or 6 times to to get it. And then, but then it was one of those things, and I feel every writer probably knows what I'm talking about the moment that I'm about to reference, as you're writing and you're like so frustrated and it's been a plot hole for 3 drafts and it's terrible. And then all of a sudden it just goes funk and it clicks into place in your skull and you're like, oh my God, yes, I just need to do this thing and then that and then and it all falls into place. And I feel like that's what it finally felt like when I got it to work and I was able to get them out of their corners, or some of them at least. So yeah, it's all fun, it's all twisty. I love writing heists.
Yeah, it's awesome. And also the main heist, we're not going to get into the specifics of it, but it takes place on this like fortress in like the middle of the sea that no one has ever gotten the loot out of it before. It was kind of reminded me a little bit of like Ocean's 11 when they're trying to steal the money out of this vault, which no one has ever accessed before. So a lot of fun vibes that was that. I don't know if that was what you were thinking when you wrote that part, probably, right?
Yeah, well, that's I wanted to for the heist, and then again, I tortured myself a little bit, but it was like I wanted to make the heist impossible. It's supposed to be impossible, so I did. I took all these characters. Obviously, I set them opposed to each other, but I'm like, what's the smallest footprint I can realistically put them in? There's no running. There's no, they're on an island. They can't, trapped, surrounded by all the people that would catch them from this crime. But yes, I do love the Ocean's films, some more than others. And I always say, like, when I'm pitching Among Thieves to folks that may not know Lies of Locke Lamora, right, might not be like super well versed in like the fantasy heist subgenre, I'll always say it's Ocean's 11 meets Game of Thrones. So definitely an inspiration.
Maybe not as much cutthroat as Game of Thrones, but you're on that same
But
vibe.
the
So.
betrayal, right? Where it's like nobody's a good guy, right? That's kind of the
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that.
vibes.
And also, in this world, you do have magic, and the magic comes in these powerful adepts. There's two different types. There's sensors, and then there's kinetics. So I found these interesting. And then as the plot progresses, you see just the ramifications of what's going on in the world regarding these. But talk to me about the adepts. How'd they come about, and how did you decide what type of magic you wanted them to use?
Yeah. So the magic system for Among Thieves was actually one of the first things that came to me for this project. It's dark. It's a crappy world that I've created. I've created a horrible society. I'm so sorry. But basically, children are born anywhere in the world. Anyone could be born with magic. And if they are born with magic, the guild master, the ruler of the adept, will come and steal them as an infant, raise them and brainwash them on his island. And by the time they are seen again on the mainland, they are completely blank, seemingly devoid of personality, of a soul, right? They seem to have nothing behind those eyes. And they are sold to the highest bidder to be guard dogs, to be, you know, soldiers, whatever. To me, it's a little bit I say it's born of my lack of faith in humanity, just because I do feel like people fear power, especially power they don't control, and they seek to control what they fear. And so I conceptualized a world in which the many don't have magic and the few do. Well, would the many not seek to control those few because they're afraid? So that's kind of where that came from. And then as in terms of like the specific powers, so we have the sensors who are able to detect danger. So, you know, if you had a sensor beside you as a king, they would be able to sniff out if someone was coming to assassinate you, right? They can literally smell danger. And then the kinetics are your standard super soldiers, right? They're very fast. They're very strong. Some of them have telekinetic powers, you know, depending on how powerful they are. Those two, actually, I originally conceptualized it as five different types of adept, one for each of the five senses. And the only two that survived were smell and touch, because the others, it just, as I was going, they just kind of fell away. And I felt like, you know, the ones for taste were tasting for poison and like, okay, well, I can sneak that into the sensors. And I felt like there was just a, I don't know. I love a good complex magic system when I'm reading, but I also just love a magic system that kind of fades away into the background and we focus on the characters. And I felt like that was a little more what I was going for with Among Thieves. So I tried to make it as simple as possible. This could be like a entry-level fantasy book. If you don't read a lot of fantasy, maybe, you know, it'd be pretty easy to pick up on and follow what's going on with the magic system. So yeah, that's where that all came from.
Awesome. And you did mention you thought you had an adept for the five senses. That sounds like plenty of material for like a short novella or a short story.
Yeah, any, right?
Any ideas for sneaking that in come, or is it done away for good?
So I actually have a whole sequel trilogy planned, but you know, I have to see if there's going to be interest from readers for it. I don't have anything written yet. I just it would follow a few of the characters 20 years after the events of Thick as Thieves, which, you know, once you finish Thick as Thieves, for the listeners, you'll see how things kind of end, and that there is fodder for more to come in that world a bit later on in the storyline. So I would love to come back to the world of Temur, but you know, obviously only if people want to read it.
Of course. And after reading this duology, I 100% want to read more stuff in this world. But going back to the adepts, you were saying like the magical abilities that they have, all of this is pretty much, you see it in the first chapter with Raya, because she's going to do a job and she comes across the adepts. And you said like the sensors, you're able to kind of like bypass their magic if like you train your mind to like not, okay, I'm not going to hurt this one person or anything like that. So she gets around it, but eventually, you know, she comes into contact with them and then all hell breaks loose, sort of
yes,
so to speak. So I like those little like tricks and little hints that you sneak into the story. And I think it adds more flavor. It adds more depth to the characters and to the plot. So what, before we talk about some other aspects, why don't we talk about the other members of the quote unquote thief guild. So we have Nash, we have Tristan, who he is the fun con artist, like card game, yes, guy. A lot of fun meeting him. And then we have Ivan. They all work for Clem, doing this one heist job on this fortress island that no one can get into. So talk to us a little bit about the group, so to speak, and how they all came about.
Yeah, so I had Raya from the beginning, as I've said. And then for all of the other characters, I actually created them based on what I needed for my heist team. So I knew I was going to write a heist. And I was like, okay, so we're gonna have this heist. I knew I wanted to have it on an island, because I always build the world before I build anything else. Just as like an aside, I feel like world informs so much else about your story and your characters. So I already knew I was gonna have a heist. I knew it was gonna be on an island. So I was like, okay, who needs to be a part of this group? Who's gonna help us carry out this daring deed? And I was like, okay, well, you always need a quick-fingered con man. You always do. A utility player. You're Matt Damon from Ocean's 11, right? kind of the young guy in the crew, right? So that's where Tristan came from. And then obviously we need transport. We need to get to the island. So we have Nash, our smuggler. We need a way to get around and move around without necessarily being seen. We need to be able to forge documents and things like that. So that's where we have Nash, who's our disguise master, our master, or I'm sorry, Ivan, our disguise master and master forger. And then also, you always have to have the straight man on the crew, right? The one straight and narrow person among all the criminals. And that's where Evelyn comes from, who is our disgraced captain of the guard that ends up falling in with this group of ruffians. So once I kind of had the archetypes of what I wanted, that's when I kind of dove in and I tried to add details and things that are maybe contrary to what you would expect for someone from that archetype, right? Then you can kind of build out the characters from there. But I had so much fun. I love my whole crew of criminals, and I hope that everybody loves them too.
Yep, loved reading about all of them, especially Evelyn, who is not there from the beginning. She joins a
Yes.
little later, but her story, her plot line, and Among Thieves, and especially in Thickest Thieves, those are some interesting chapters. Let me tell you.
She
Not gonna
goes through
spoil it
it
for.
a little bit.
Yeah, she goes through with it. Not gonna spoil it for anybody, but that's the great part about the sequel. One thing I need to ask, because a lot of fantasy series and books nowadays, they're published and they have maps in the beginning, but yours doesn't for some reason. I need to ask, was there ever a map, or was there a decision to not put one, or I just need to know.
Yes, I have a map. I hired a cartographer myself because my publisher didn't do a map for me. And I too, I'm a person that loves a map. So actually, if you get the UK edition of book one, it does have the map in it. I did send my publisher the map, but I'm not sure what, I have no idea what printing costs, I'm sure. I don't know. But they did not end up printing it in book two. But it is available for free on my website. So mjkuhn.com, you can go check it out, but it's a full map of Temur. It is drawn by the brilliant Soraya Corcoran, who is a great freelance cartographer. And yes, because I'm a map fiend, I love me a map. And I was honestly, like, I'm not gonna lie, I was like pretty devastated when they elected not to do a map for me in book one. Which again, I was like, okay, fine, I'll do one myself.
Yeah, I love a good map. It doesn't feel like sometimes you need one to enjoy the story, and I didn't feel like I needed it to enjoy the story. It just adds a little bit of, okay, they're going from this
Yeah.
place, they're going to another place. You feel like you're
Some
following along.
context. When I feel like, especially because in book one, they kind of pretty much bounce between just like two locations. But in book two, they travel a bit more extensively throughout my world. So I do feel like a map could be beneficial for the reading through of book two. So again, if you're reading it and you're like, God, I wish I had any idea where Oriole is on this map. MJKuhn.com, check it out. I promise it's there. I
She's got you covered, so don't worry about
got
that.
you.
That's awesome. So this is fantastic about talking about your series, but you're also you're a co-host on a podcast at FanFi Addict with Adrian. So tell us about a little bit about that. How's that going, and has that been set ever since you joined?
It's so fun. I love it. Podcasting is so fun, especially like doing a book podcast, because A, I just get to nerd out with cool people about something I love. Amazing. Like what? And then our show format is similar to this, where we bring authors on and we interview them, we talk to them about their projects. And then we do mini master classes with some authors too, where we talk about something they're really good at and like try to pick their brains. And I'm not gonna lie, I literally, like, when we're doing those mini master classes, I'm taking notes. Like as I'm interviewing people, I'm learning so much about writing. You got your notes up. I love it. But it's like you learn so much about other people's processes and like how they think and how they go through creating their stories and their worlds. And you know, I know we all know that writing is a messy, tricky business, and what works for someone else might not work for you, but it's so fun to see all the options that are on the table. And then you can explore different ways to do things. But yeah, I'm having so much fun co-hosting this podcast. Adrian is delightful. If you get the chance to meet him, Adrian M. Gibson, he's fantastic. Honestly, all the folks over at FanFi Addict are just gems of humans. but yeah, it's been so fun. I love the podcasting space and the book space, and it's fun to sit at the intersection of it.
Yeah, I know the, I know all the guys on FanFi Addict very, very well. They're all lovely. So very glad you're getting off with that. And I agree. I always liked podcast format, because YouTube is great, but it's also very visual. You need to be sitting in one space watching. You can't do that while you're driving or at work
or at the gym, right? I listen to podcasts all the time when I'm like out walking the dog, running, you know, going on a run, whatever. It's like you can just immerse yourself in something, someone else talking about their stuff. I love it.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do something something a little different, and hopefully my voice soothes everybody, as my wife likes to say.
You do have a great, like, very nice, like, soothing voice. I feel that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad everyone thinks so. I don't see it, but, you know, hindsight's 2020. So a few more questions. Since my tag is Under the Radar, are there any other fellow authors or series that you've read over the years or you're reading now that you would consider to be, like, under the radar and deserves, like, a bigger audience? I always like talking about this with the fellow authors.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. So many. So one that comes to mind immediately is, so if you like heists and you like, you know, groups of ruffians, but also like basically if you liked Among Thieves, but you wish it was cyberpunk, there's a fantastic duology again, City of Shattered Light and City of Vicious Night, by Claire Wynne. They are young adult, but it's like upper YA, right? So it's like very crossover. But yeah, it features like, so the first book is an heiress on the run from her father, and she ends up on this world where they have to fight this like monster AI that is going, and they have to, you know, sneak into, yeah, it's fantastic. It's really good. I think that's quite underrated. Also, so H.M. Long, Hannah Long has some books out. The Hall of Smoke is the first. And there's several, but I think there's going to be four in the series altogether. But there is a series of standalones. So like we're talking about being a mood reader, you can read all four books or you can just read one. You can pick and choose. It's so great. I love it. But yeah, they're kind of Norse inspired fantasy, featuring a warrior priestess actually, in this world where like she runs into gods that, you know, are walking the earth as well. It's so fun. Gosh, there's too many. The third one I'll say is The Sightless City. It's by Noah Lemelson. It's diesel punk, sort of, but I say it's diesel punk because that's the closest equivalent. It does have that kind of like grimy energy to it, but the diesel, right, the fuel in the world is like this magical liquid. It's fantastic. It features like this I don't know, retired soldier character that has like all this PTSD. I think it's a really actually quite a gripping and respectful iteration of, you know, a character with PTSD, and I really enjoyed that book. I think it comes out this year actually. I gotta check that out, but yeah, so that's three off the bat.
No, those are great. I took notes on that, and I'll definitely be checking those out. So you said there's plans for a sequel trilogy, but you haven't written anything yet. Are there any in this world? Are there any other ideas or inspiration for some other types of novels that you have or you're permitted to share with us?
Yeah, so I am in the simultaneously terrifying and very exciting situation where I am not under contract for anything. So I am like just having fun and writing a ton of different stuff. So it's like I've got options when I am pursuing, you know, the next project. So I have a few things in the works right now. I have a fantasy adventure trilogy that is very much inspired by my love of Tolkien. So it's basically we have a cowardly magician that gets roped into this plot to overthrow the kingdoms of the world and stuff like that, which is very fun. I am also working on my first sci-fi. I'm working on a cyberpunk myself. So that project I'm having a lot of fun with. And I have another heisty story that's kind of in the works that's set in a different world from the world of Among Thieves. I have so much work and I'm working on. I'm having so much fun just writing all kinds of stuff and seeing what I feel like I'm enjoying and where I want to take the career next. So, yeah, there's going to be more, though, some form.
Awesome. Can't wait to see where this goes. So, MJ, this has been a lot of fun. Could you tell our audience where they could find you, your website, your Twitter handle, and also where they could find your FanFi Addict podcast? So I'm sure they'd love to listen to that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. So you can find me across all socials just at MJ Kuhn Books, all one word. So Twitter, TikTok, or X, I guess, TikTok and Instagram, stuff like that. You can find the podcast version of the FanFi Addict show, it's SFF Addicts. So you can find us at SFF Addicts on Instagram, Threads, or you can check out FanFi Addict on YouTube and see all of our episodes in full video. And then mjkuhn.com, you can find all the links to everything.
Awesome. You hear that, everybody? Pick. Up Among Thieves. It's fun. It's adventurous. Little gritty and cutthroat, but that's what we get. We like it a little dark. So
right. Yeah. MJ, there you go.
So MJ, thank you so much for joining me, and hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I have had so much fun.
Cheers, everyone.